Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. If it's Friday, we started out with Brock Bucks and the Berg podcast, hosted by my brother, a mentor, a friend to me, Tarek Brock. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, in Los Angeles, producing, playing a little co-host with him, 347-205-9631. Goes by quick. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. Quite different than Monday when we did it really early. And I'm so proud and blessed that Tarek got up early on that one on the East Coast. And it was a rooster calling out here on the West Coast. But back to regular scheduled time today. First of all, Tarek, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? And third of all, I don't know if you're near the Rocky statue. I don't know if you're out there enjoying a cheesesteak this early in the morning, but how is the weather and everything in Philadelphia?
Man, good morning to you, brother. Doing well. You know, here in Philly, definitely we'll have the Philly in just a little bit, but after we go ahead and find a local coffee shop. You know, my good friend on the staff, you know, helps with the rehab, Seth Steinhauser. We always go get some coffee at a local coffee shop. So we're looking forward to that. Weather looks great. 71, just a little touch of humidity. So it's a good walk for us before later on taking on the Phillies tonight.
Yeah, we're trying to
document some stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. The definitely coffee is always good this time of the morning. I remember years ago I used to drink 10 of them, and I cut that back down to 3. But a good coffee is really, really good, kind of like that light blend and nice cream and, you know, a Splendid in there, stirring around and walking around and taking in the sights. And you know, talking about Philadelphia, first of all, the tradition of that city, just to see everything, walking around, if you're close enough. I know you guys got in there yesterday. But to seeing the Liberty Bell, the Rocky statue, the Ben Franklin Bridge, everything, that's got to be nice to take in.
It is nice. And, you know, when you get in town, especially when you spend half the off day in it, you know, the first thing you do when you get in, around, you know, 4-ish, 5-ish, 6-ish, is to go to a good restaurant. Last night we went to a place, you know, just pretty much right by Broad Street, which is, you know, a famous street here, which was Morimoto. Gosh, good sushi restaurant here, which was good. And then we walked around, you know, Broad Street and just chilled on one of the rooftops. That's probably one of the coolest things about this job, is being able to go to new places, try new things, and experience new things. So, but now, you know, after the coffee, it is back to work for sure.
Well, and not only that, you're rekindling a tradition that we've kind of lost over the years. The Pirates and Phillies, you know, I can remember growing up in the 70s with these guys, and you played them, and the Lozinskis and the Schmidts and the Boas and the Carltons, and the list goes on and on and on. And you only play them now, you know, 6 or 7 times a year. How important is that tradition to rekindle it now this weekend in Philly?
I mean, it's good. I was talking because we went up, you know, to the front office, one of the other coaches and myself, and we were just looking around at some things, you know, saw the 71 National League, you know, championship, you know, trophy. And I was like, man, when we play the Phillies, we need to have something that at the end of, you know, the 2 series that we play with them, you know, that somebody gets, a trophy that you keep in your front office until the next year. And so that's one thing. The second thing is, talking with Reese Hoskins, you know, he was just like, man, you know, as close as we are to only play, you know, 6 games a year against each other, it's just not cool. You know, but the good thing about these series is that we play them on the weekend so that both fan bases can make the short drive over and support their team. So, but yeah, you know, hopefully I don't watch the news much or anything, but hopefully they, you know, it gets, you know, highly publicized so that, you know, more people will come out and just enjoy it.
Yeah, well, this week made some history in Major League Baseball. Starting next year, all 30 teams will play each other during the course of the season. So that means the division competition will be decreased. how important now is that with the Brewers, the Reds, the Cardinals in this division, and the Cubs, where you limit that now? It's going to be important to jump on these guys from the start now with this long overdue balanced schedule.
You know, absolutely. Like I said, you know, every divisional game is, you know, a heavyweight fight. It just shortens the fight for the overall year, which makes, you know, like you said, divisional games, you know, super important. But those interdivisional games are super, important as well. Going out, you know, next year and playing Anaheim there for 3 days is a huge game. And so it makes, you know, in my opinion, home field advantage, you know, extremely important because those are the games that you definitely want to win and take, you know, at least 2 out of 3 in those. So it'll be really, really good. You know, going up to Seattle next year would be fun for a lot of our guys, some good experiences. And, you know, the cool thing is that it exposes, you know, other markets to your club. And so only not just what you hear on the national media, but you get to see these guys, you know, live and up close. Whether it's home on the road. And I think it'll give people a better appreciation for more ball players that are out there, young and aging ball players.
Yeah, and when you look at it, you know, it was about time. The DH started to come into the National League, and now to get guys like Trout and Ohtani and Judge, every other year in the city, you know, looking at this, I can remember when PNC Park opened up, and I was there the first year it opened up. And to see the A's haven't been there in 20-something years. I mean, an A's fan living in Pittsburgh has to go to Cleveland or, you know, Detroit to watch a game. Now every other year they'll come into Pittsburgh. And, you know, when you look at the schedule next year, you guys will open up in Cincinnati, you go to Boston, and you come home and you play the White Sox and Astros. So this schedule is going to be good. It's highlighted by – you know, the Yankees coming back into Pittsburgh and celebrating Clemente Day, the Blue Jays and Guardians. So this is really exciting for baseball in more ways than one.
Totally, totally agree. You know, just so looking, you know, looking forward to it, you know. And the cool thing is that, you have, you know, family in certain places that you normally don't go to that, you know, you'll get to go to. So I get to see, you know, my brother-in-law, my niece and nephew when we go to Boston. So just looking forward, you know, to that, which is really, really cool, getting back to Kansas City, a team that we played in 2020 because of the, you know, the pandemic, and just enjoy. So you get to revisit some cities, you know, that you enjoyed, and then get to go to some new ones and create new memories, as well as just good competition against, you know, different teams. So I think it's going to be really, 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 really good for baseball, and more so for our fan bases.
Yeah, definitely. And I know I had a conversation with somebody, and they were saying, well, maybe the excitement won't be as much if a Kansas City comes in to play the Mets. But you know what? I think if the Mets are playing the Nationals 19 times, open it up a little, get some excitement. So, yeah, that's going to be nice. Explore some of these cities you guys don't get to go to quite a few, you know, years. And that's amazing in itself. And I'll tell you what else is amazing. O'Neill Cruz set the Statcast record for the hardest hit, 122.4 miles per hour, knocked it into the – I'm surprised that thing didn't go over the Clemente wall there. He hit the wall there, and you had an up-close view of that. Take us through that.
You know, yeah, that was the hardest ball that I've seen at first base, and there's been some balls that came off really hot where I'm just like, oh, my goodness. You know, but that one was hit so hard that the first baseman, the base runner, the umpire, and myself could not even turn our heads in time. And before you knew it, that ball was hot, had some topspin on a hook to it, and that ball hit the top of the wall. I look back, you know, because Acuna got to it so quick because it bounced off so hard, to tell O'Neill, hey, stay right here, and he wasn't even halfway there. And this guy is one of the fastest guys on the field. So it was just really, really, really cool to be a part of or on that field, you know, during that time to experience that, which is good. So, you know, he's really doing some really, really cool things, you know, in the sport and showing off, you know, one of the highest or the top throw hardest throw across the diamond this year and the hardest hit ball. But the biggest thing that I would like to see is just him to just, you know, settle in. He already has a low motor, but just to see him settle in and just sharpen up the at-bats. But the only way that could happen is for him to continue to play. And so, you know, we believe in him and believe that he'll continue to grow.
Yeah, so tall and everything. I think to myself, if he wasn't playing baseball with them locks and everything, he'd be ready for a reggae band and carrying that bat like Fred Flintstone there, man. It's just amazing. It looks like a toothpick in his hands.
You know, absolutely. You know, a guy just as tall as Aaron Judge, but Aaron Judge might have, you know, dang near 80 pounds on him or so. And it just shows you that, you know, the sky can definitely be the limit, you know, with continued hard work and you know, just earning his stripes. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's just a part of it. You know, when you come in, at some point in time, the game challenges you to, you know, get better. And, you know, our guys, you know, and O'Neal's a part of that, have accepted, you know, being a lifelong challenge acceptor. So, you know, and so that, I believe, he will help him succeed. And so we're willing as a group to accept the challenge of taking on the Philadelphia Phillies in their ballpark tonight.
Okay, has anybody shaved? Is that going to be – I'm interested to see tonight, whether it's the highlights or seeing this live. Marsh and you know, Gamble there with the beards. I don't know whose is longer, but they're running neck and neck as far as number one.
You know what? You're right, but I think, you know, Marsh has them in both the beard and the hair, you know, at this moment. I know, you know, Gamble had a beautiful, you know, baby girl back in spring training. And so I'm sure it's probably, you know, tough to give his, you know, little daughter smooches with that long of a beard that he had at one point in time. So I'm going to give it to Marsh, but it'll be good to see him in person.
Yeah, definitely. We're going through our things, top five DHs. Monday from Milwaukee, we'll do the top five right-handed pitchers. Here's mine. I got David Ortiz, Edgar Martinez, Harold Baines, Don Baylor, and Brian Downing. Missing the cut, Chili Davis, Frank Thomas, Jose Canseco, and Jeremy Giambi.
Man, that's a really, really, really good list, man. I can't argue with it. This one was a tough one to debate for me, and I didn't send it in to this morning because I was thinking, like, this is tough. So I'm going to go with, you know, and because some of these guys I've seen up close and personal or they have touched my career. That's the kind of thing they go for me. So for me, David Ortiz. Went into Boston back in 2014, and this was in his heyday, and he comes up to hit to, you know, Big Papa. And I remember I was nodding my head, and I look over, he's looking at me, and he's nodding his head too. He goes up and proceeds to hit a home run, rounds third because the visiting dugout is on the third base dugout, looks at me and points to me and just keeps going. I was like, man, from that moment, so. And then I'm going to go with, you know, sweet swinging Edgar Martinez, man, in those Seattle days was just awesome, beautiful swing. Backed up Ken Griffey Jr. Second, third, I'm going with Victor Martinez, man. That guy just had a sweet swing, helped out the Detroit Tigers to win. You know, remember from his Cleveland days, switch hitter, just awesome just to see him. So I saw him personally. And then I'm going to go with the guy that touched me, that tapped me on my shoulder and said that I made the major league team. I'm going with Don Baylor. You know, God rest his soul. My first major league manager impacted my career and my life. You know, my wife's life, his wife. I can't think of her name right now. Oh, it is really hurting my soul. You know, made an impact on my wife as well. So he should have been first on the list, but we just went down. And then lastly, my Tiger days. A guy that left shoes and bats for young ball players, and I couldn't swing it, but I wore shoes, was, you know, Cecil Big Daddy Fielder, man, a guy that hit home runs left and right. And so that was it. So also missing the cut for me, which is hard, is Jose Canseco for me, which was one. Frank Thomas, who became, a DH. Jim Tomei was another one. That missed the cut for me as well. But then also, Paul Molitor at a point in time DH. That's missing the cut for me.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good one. The right-handers are going to be good on Monday. You got Verlander up there, and we can get some really good ones going forward. Steve Rogers, and I'll throw two of them right off the bat. But, you guys are in the midst of a series where you're playing all playoff teams. You had Atlanta, and, boy, Atlanta's been a thorn, even back in the 90s when they beat us in the playoffs, but that's okay. But when you look at Atlanta, you get Philly, you go to Milwaukee, you come back home, you get the Mets, you get Toronto, and then you get the Cardinals. That's a death march, but you guys can really play spoilers with some of these teams and dictate who the heck is getting in this thing and who the heck ain't getting in it.
Absolutely. And, I remember saying this last year, our playoffs start now, for us. And the biggest thing that when you experience where teams that are fighting for playoff spots, you're going to get, their best intensity. They're not going to overlook us. Yes, if they're in a position to win a series, they might manipulate their pitching rotation or something like that. But this gets, and this is where you get to look at it, as the old saying, it goes, iron sharpens iron. We get to get, the point of our sword gets to get a little bit tighter now because we're going to have to clean up. You don't want to get embarrassed, in any of these games. You want to be close. So a 2-1 ball game, is it in the seventh inning becomes that much more important, for us and in our growth, both from the coaching staff and from, the player standpoint. So it's really, really good for us, really good for our young guys to experience.
Yeah, and as we wrap this thing up, I think the Dodgers have only lost 15 home games this year or something, 16. I get pure satisfaction that you guys have put three of them on them. So still got the heavyweight belt around my waist here, and it's acknowledged Pittsburgh and Los Angeles.
Absolutely. That will be something that will be a part of, our highlight reel that will show, our players in spring training, what we can look like, on a nightly basis and how we can play. So it'll be really good, moving forward. So it's good, man.
Yeah.
What do you got planned for?
Definitely. It's going to be great, man. I'm going to enjoy watching you guys, keeping my eyes on the Pirates and Phillies. Maybe have a nice cheesesteak, not as good as the ones out there in Philly, but, try to get one of these authentic ones, sit back, watch you guys take it, the Phillies apart. But other than that, I'll be ready for Monday in Milwaukee on top of that Bernie's Chalet. Don't just go down that slide. Go down there with hockey gear. One of the Dodger pregame guys went down and tried to do push his luck on it and fractured his arm and broke six ribs, so that's not a good sign going that thing. Hopefully they don't put WD-40 on that thing for visiting teams. Everybody know how they can get a hold of you, my friend.
Okay, on Facebook, it is first and last name, TARRIKBROCK, and on Instagram, same thing. TARRIKBROCK, but we're going to add the SR because I do have a junior. And on Twitter, it's just first name, TARRIK, and senior. We got to, separate, junior from myself. So that's it. I will try and document something on this trip, man. I'm wishing everyone a great weekend, man. And, go Pirates, man.
Yeah, definitely. And if they give you any slack back there, just take the Rocky statue, throw it in the Delaware River.
will do, brother. Will do.
Hey, for Carrick Brock, yours truly, Mark Mancini, saying we will reconvene Monday in Milwaukee, probably from the Deer District there. Till then, catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. Thanks for tuning in, and have a blessed weekend, and go Bucks!